Along the side of the house stood a tin wash basin with an old-fashioned washboard and wringer, and beside that a wooden stool painted with flowers. Half a dozen bikes, in all states of repair, were lined along the side of the house.
We should head back to the site, get in the car, drive away, and never return.
That's not an option. Don't you see? Someone is using the legend of the Mulo to cover something darker and more vile.
I don't know.
It's what I feel in my gut. It's not always right, but this is too weird any other way. But I do want to get away from here and head back to town.
We'll probably need Santos to show us the way back through the forest.
I can navigate. It was just a few bends and the path was obvious. And I've got a flashlight in my hip pack.
Great. Wolves in the area, eh? Where's Santos?
He said to follow the path. Gave me a flashlight.
Luke wielded the small mag light near his shoulder, sweeping the beam across Doug's face.
It's a mile, give or take. I've got a light, too. We'll be fine. Come on, gentlemen. And you, Doug, what's up with not wanting to trek into a dark, creepy forest in search of vampires?
I prefer my vamps a little less sanguine than the ones rumored to stalk these parts.
Oh, you mean you like them to sparkle?
Within seconds, they were surrounded by utter blackness on the path through the brush. The flashlight beams couldn't penetrate the dark farther than a few feet. Anya let Luke take the lead. And the night had chilled measurably. Wishing she'd worn long sleeves instead of the t-shirt, Anya trekked onward. Doug stepped on Anya's heels, and she swung around to laser the flashlight right into his eyes.
Anya!
Do you want to hold my hand?
No, but I wouldn't mind walking alongside you.
Children, the faster you move, Doug, the quicker we get to the other side.
I'm taking the middle.
Doug stepped around Anya, and they trekked onward.
Did you hear that?
The squirrel in the tree above us?
Probably smells the bread you stuffed in your pocket. Did you have to do that? The woman was kind enough to offer us food, and then you make off like a homeless bandit.
Just be quiet, Doug. We can navigate better if we can hear.
After a few moments, they heard something somewhere out in the darkness. A chill ran up Anya's spine. In front of her, both men looked at each other. Nobody spoke for a brief moment.
Just a dog.
Far away.
Not really. It sounded close. Like it could be at the opening where we went into the forest.
If it is a wolf, then keep walking. The dig site isn't far. I can smell the smoke. Just keep moving.
Don't look it in the eye! I think that's what I know about wolves. Or is it? Look them in the eye. Show them you're the alpha!
Wolves rarely attack humans.
Unless they were hungry, or the humans had encroached on their territory, and they had the ability to bite fast and hard, so fast, in fact, that a human couldn't predict the hit and get out of its way in time. This close to the Romani encampment, Anya hardly expected a wolf to attack. They moved more slowly since hearing the howl. Luke's flashlight blinked out.
Oh, shit.
Take mine.
Anya tossed her light toward Doug. The flashlight landed in the leaves, emitting a tiny glow. Luke stepped into the brush to find it. The undergrowth and tree trunks were all the same, deep shadows upon darkness. Anya twisted to look behind her.
Anya!
Right here, Doug.
Anya reached out, and Doug grabbed her arm.
If it's a Mulo, it shouldn't have a grudge against us. We didn't do anything wrong.
Except dig up its bones. Found it.
The light beam swung toward Anya and Doug and then traced the path border. Two gold eyes flashed in the brief swing of the light beam.
Keep walking. Slowly.
Anya thought that the dig site wasn't far off, but she couldn't see a glimpse of the flame. She should see it by now. Suddenly, the eyes were on the path in front of them. How it had moved that fast, she had no idea.
We need to walk in that direction. It's standing in our way.
The wolf revealed its teeth. The light should have blinded it. It was a good height, perhaps the size of a German shepherd, but leaner, the legs longer and the body more muscled.
The flashlight is making it angry!
You want me to turn it off?
No!
Is he a branch or something to use as a weapon?
There's a thick one.
Where?
By the wolf's foot.
Startled, Luke jerked the light upward. The wolf dashed toward them. Luke stumbled backward, the flashlight slipping from his grip and rolling up against the branch. Teeth grazed Anya's thigh, and she swung out with the sword, but didn't catch the animal. They stood in darkness. Anya followed Doug's voice.
Guys? Luke?
I'm here. I'm okay. But what about Doug?
Anya felt fur against her leg, a tail twitching, as the wolf landed on the path before her. Its eyes caught the muted flashlight glow. She swept the sword in warning in front of the wolf. The creature didn't flinch. It only exposed its teeth threateningly.
Doug?
I'm...
The idea of killing such a beautiful animal made Anya's gut clench. They were encroaching on its territory. The wolf lunged for her. She managed to swing the sword, but it cut through air. The wolf's forepaws landed against her chest. She grabbed the wolf's jaws with both hands. Teeth cut into her palms as she forced the jaws wide. Shaking its head out of her grasp, the animal stumbled away into the brush. Luke was at Anya's side in a heartbeat. He claimed the flashlight and swept it over her body, stopping at her bleeding palms.
You're hurt.
It's wounded, but that doesn't mean it's down. We need to get out of here. Doug? Where is he? Direct the light over there.
Luke fumbled with the maglite and swept it over the body of the prone man. The leg of Doug's jeans was torn, but they couldn't see much blood.
He's been bitten.
Doug gave Luke the thumbs up.
Dude! Oh.
Then he passed out. Luke paced the hotel room floor in front of the bed where Doug lay sprawled. Anya had placed a wet cloth to his forehead and then brought in the first aid kit from the Jeep. She cut Doug's jeans to below the knee, where the wolf's teeth had penetrated into muscle. She'd cleaned the wound with alcohol and soap and bandaged it tightly.
I think you should go to the hospital for a rabies shot, Doug.
In the morning. I'm tired. I just want to sleep. Can it wait?
I suppose. We'll find a clinic in town tomorrow.
I survived a wolf attack.
That you did.
And the worst part?
What's that?
I don't have it on film.
If that's the worst part, I'd say you came out ahead.
Luke took Anya's hands to inspect the wounds. Turned out only one tooth had punctured her palm, and she was only beginning to feel the pain now that her adrenaline was fading.
Thank God my shots are up to date.
You think it was the mulo?
Of course it was the mulo.
Are you buying into the idea now too, Luke? I leave you with Doug for a day and your whole belief system goes topsy-turvy. Ow!
Luke tossed the alcohol wipe into the trash can, then grabbed the roll of gauze Anya had used to bandage Doug's leg.
He could have been killed. You too. This is my dig. I'm responsible. The fire and now this wolf attack. What next?
Time to get out the garlic and steaks.
Anya allowed Luke to bandage her hand, knowing she'd peel it off in the shower, but it was his way of compensating for how badly he was feeling.
I wonder where the thing came from.
I should talk to Santos first thing in the morning.
The funeral is tomorrow. Wouldn't be wise to go there while they're mourning, although I certainly would have liked a chance to look at the child's body. I'm no surgeon, and forensics is far from my specialty, but I keep thinking about what Mama said about the stitched-up wound. My mind goes to those crazy stories about people waking up after a drunken binge in a tub full of ice, with stitches and a note telling them to get to the doctor because their kidney has been removed. Could someone have taken out one of Tomas's body parts and then sent him on his way?
And if so, did they place the organ in a white cooler?
What did you say?
There was a cooler. Garin and I tracked the people who kidnapped Doug to a country cottage outside of Liberec. And after we took out half a dozen gunmen, there was a cooler. One of the men was waiting for a handoff, which I assume meant handing over the cooler. I didn't get a chance to look inside, but they said it had been sealed, and whatever was inside would be ruined if the seal was broken.
Body parts. That's just wrong.
You think that was what was in the cooler, Anya?
Garin, the friend who is not a friend, mentioned something about seeing bags of blood at a warehouse he... Well, a warehouse he walked through.
Blood? Now the vampire connection comes to light. Well, I mean it fits in there somehow. You think there was a human body part in that cooler?
We were following the trail. Garin decided I wasn't an asset and took off on his own. I should have stayed on him.
Anya wandered to the window. Putting her back to the men made it easier to think, to reason.
A child was kidnapped and returned home days later with a strange wound, and then he died. It's possible illegal blood donations are taking place in a warehouse outside Krastava, but blood donations don't create a wound that requires stitches. If only I'd gotten a look inside the cooler. If only Garin would answer my phone calls. Did all this start because of the skull Luke uncovered?
Guys, the more I think about this...
Doug sat up and eased a leg off the side of the bed. He touched the bandaged wound carefully.
Maybe I shouldn't say anything. Anya never puts much faith in my theories.
Tell us, Doug. I want to hear your theory.
Someone is using the Romani's beliefs in Revenants. The myth that the dead will rise and seek revenge to cover for what happened to the kid. Child goes missing, it's the work of the vengeful chewing dead, yes?
But how could anyone have known the skull would be discovered? It couldn't have been planted. The flooding uncovered it. It's been in the ground for over a century.
Possibly. It's looking newer than that to me every time I go over the thing. Could be as new as a few decades.
Really? But it looks old. What could cause a skeleton to age so rapidly as to look centuries old?
Malnutrition, anemia, many other factors that a bone specialist could answer. I need to get the bones to London.
We should get some rest. You guys take the bed. I'll toss a pillow on the floor.
Thanks, Anya. Don't worry, Luke. I'm not a spooner.
You should take the bed, or I can rent you a room to yourself.
I've slept on worse surfaces than a carpeted floor. Besides, I got your pillow. We'll all have clearer heads in the morning. Deal?
Luke nodded and collapsed on the bed beside Doug. Anya woke before sunrise and slipped out of the hotel room. Commandeering a coffee from the front lobby, she downed the strong brew, then headed out to the dig site. It was a disaster. Kindling had been thrown over the pit, and a huge pile of ash now covered it. What she'd come for lay about 100 yards into the forest on the well-worn path that this particular gypsy camp obviously used a lot. Now, with the daylight filtering through the leaf canopy, she noted tattered strips of cloth on trees designating breakoffs from the path and assumed they used the area for hunting. Although she wagered they only hunted fox, squirrel, and perhaps a wild pig on occasion. And wolves. Kneeling before the body of the creature she'd tussled with last night, she smoothed a hand over the brown and black fur. It had died after all. She hadn't meant to strike to kill and knew she hadn't. Who knew that pulling its jaws apart would be the coup de grace?
Sorry. I had to protect my friends.
Anya was particularly dismayed at the sight of a collar around its neck. A heavy black leather collar with a square electronic device attached.
A shock collar?
Anya and Bart McGilly used to debate the pros and cons of using this means to train a dog for hours, but ultimately it fell to the integrity of the trainer. The animal beneath her palm was a wolf, not a dog that looked like a wolf.
But I suspect this one grew up tame with a family. Perhaps later it was trained to attack on command.
On the other hand, wild animals could never be tamed, no matter how amiable or family-oriented they appeared to be. She tapped the wolf's canine teeth. Most animals' canines weren't pin-sharp, but these had either broken at one point and had worn smooth or had been altered, which meant they weren't designed to pierce, but simply maul.
Doug and I could have been hurt a lot worse.
Anya assumed the electronic box could issue simple commands the wolf understood. Many shock collars were now outfitted with GPS.
Wouldn't the owner go looking for the wolf when it didn't return last night? It's still early.
She remembered the man at the dig who had revealed the scars on his chest.
I thought they were from a bear. Maybe they were from a run-in with this wolf. Who could have unleashed this animal on us? Only someone who knew we were in the woods.
Was the gypsy woman involved in sending a deadly wolf after innocent archaeologists and a film producer? But more likely, someone who wasn't pleased that they'd encroached on his territory.
Santos.
Unclasping the collar from the animal's neck, she headed north into the forest. The tiny slip of paper Luke had found in the brick had easily unrolled after being closed up in the steamy bathroom. The words were Romany. Yet even though Luke knew the language, he couldn't decipher them, so he called a colleague in London. Chester Rumshaven had been the one to suggest Luke do his research on the Romany schoolchildren the year before. In his youth, the old man had used the fight circuit and his knockout left hook to bring him to London. Eventually, his fight earnings had added up to a tidy sum, enough to pay for schooling, which had been his dream.
You know, Romany isn't a written language.
Yes, it's conversational, used by families among themselves in public places. My great-grandfather spoke Welsh Romany, but I can't recall anything of it.
Exactly, because of its secretive nature. Well, here goes. May the sun always shine. That's what your words translate to. The words Indic, with a Baltic influence, one of the oldest Romany dialects. Last time the original Romany language was spoken anywhere in the world was late 19th century, possibly a generation longer in Wales, which could date your skull to early 20th century.
But what does May the sun always shine mean?
Ah, it's an old gypsy blessing. At first, I thought it strange to find those words inside a buried skull that was suspected of becoming revenant. You'd think they'd curse it, or at the very least put some kind of binding spell on it, but no, it's a blessing.
Perhaps they thought gentle words would keep the corpse down.
That's very possible, though strange. Pagan curses are believed much more effective than a few kind words, that's for sure.
What is it?
Luke shoved the notebook in which he'd written down the translation toward him. The producer sat on the bed and studied it.
Anything else I could do for you, Spencer?
At the moment, no. But I'd appreciate being able to call you if I've got further questions.
Not a problem. I enjoyed the puzzle. It wasn't much of a challenge. Next time, give me hello, buddy.
Luke leaned over the tiny paper he'd found inside the brick.
It says, may the sun always shine.
Apparently.
Oh, that's rich. It's so Dracula, it's not even funny.
Why Dracula?
Well, Dracula was weak during the day when the sun was out. So, to leave this message with the corpse was like saying, dude, go out and enjoy the sunshine on your pasty white skin and burn to a bloody crisp while you're out there. Clever.
I knew unearthing the skull would immerse me in the subculture that's fascinated with vampires. But who would have thought it could be so real for some?
There are people out there who actually believe they are vampires. Drink blood, too. Supposedly the blood is given with permission. That kills me.
This coming from a man who has his own set of fangs.
I only use them for parties and the occasional date.
A date? Seriously? No, I really don't want to know. I need to do some online research.
About vampires? Oh, ask me anything. I bet I have the answer.
I bet you do. Tell me all you know about mulos.
Mulo means one who is dead. Generally, dompiers must kill them. That is, if the stakes or bricks or iron needles driven into their bones at burial didn't keep them down in the first place.
We know all that already.
Oh, sorry, but the various renditions of vampire, as they pertain to each country, I'm not too keen on. The Dracula myth is my specialty.
Anything in Dracula about consuming organ blood? Or taking organs from a human body to feed the vampire?
Not particularly, but the whole wolf thing was in there.
Right. I don't think you were attacked by a shape-shifting mulo, Doug.
I know, but still, it was a real wolf.
That it was. We should get you to a clinic for a rabies shot.
Check online.
Sure, though we may have to drive to Liberec.
Luke pulled Anya's laptop across the table and opened it up to the browser. Within minutes, he had the address to the local clinic.
Well, let's wait for Anya before we go anywhere. I'm going to shower quick.
There was a clinic in Liberec, so Luke noted the address and searched further for some driving directions. With those notes tucked in a pocket, he then decided to surf for Dracula and Revenants and the buried undead. The legend was vast and encompassed so many different breeds and forms that he felt sure it may be more of an exercise in futility, but he had the time. He thought to type in Mulo in the search engine, but on a sudden whim, decided to bring up the browser history. What secrets would Anya's laptop reveal to him? The bathroom door swung inward, emitting a gust of steam. Doug danced out in a towel and grabbed his backpack.
Oh, forgot my stuff.
The browser showed much the same searches as he'd attempted. A few were not. One site was for brand-name knockoff shoes.
Doesn't strike me as the stiletto heel type.
You snooping?
No.
At Doug's reappearance, Luke lowered the laptop cover, then realized that he looked guilty and reopened it.
A little. I might have checked her browser history.
No porn?
Doug, you really don't know your employee all that well, do you?
I do. Just teasing. Did you kiss her again?
You've been right there with her since that first kiss. Have you seen me kiss her again?
Is that your way of telling me to give you two some alone time?
No. It was just something that happened. It was a moment. I took it.
You got it, man. What you do with it now is all up to you.
Doug grabbed the iPad.
If you decide to do some real research, why don't you look up the Red Lady?
What Red Lady?
Just popped into my head right now. She's a myth. I remember reading about her once. She has fangs and can shapeshift into a wolf and consumes people whole. And Red Ladies usually go after children. I think she might be more fairy than vampire, though, but it's worth a look. Good thing we're dealing with legends and myths. I'd hate to think that a real person could be out there doing this to kids.
It is a real person, Doug. Wrap your brain around that.
Right. This is getting heavy. Too heavy for chasing history's monsters. I can't use any of this stuff if a child really has been killed by someone who is using the vampire's cover. I can't sensationalize it on a show.
Depends on your moral compass.
I do have one, and it just popped a spring.
Santos was strolling out of the house toward his pickup truck when Anya cleared the forest. When he noticed her, he immediately set back his shoulders, straightening. Sunlight glinted in the diamonds at his ears. He made to reach behind his back, though Anya did not see the sword sheath strapped across his chest.
Hold your steel, even if it is a bluff.
Anya tossed him the wolf collar. Santos turned the leather strap in his fingers, then tucked it in a back pocket.
Where did you find it?
Took it off the dead wolf that attacked my friends last night. You remembered Luke and Doug. We were all here at your invitation.
My wolf is dead?
You were expecting to hear something else? Like maybe one of my friends was mauled? Or me? What the hell is going on, Santos? Your wolf? I thought you owned a dog.
My dai does. I owned that wolf.
Why'd you send the wolf after us?
I don't control it like that. What? You think I can order the wolf to go off and murder someone?
So murder was your intent? I only mentioned an attack. And any animal can be trained to obey commands. That electric collar could have delivered the desired signal. The wolf has been taught to obey. It goes after human prey.
Get off my land!
Anya planted her feet, tucking her thumbs in her front pockets, and lifted her chin. She'd measured this man's courage, and he tended to hide behind weapons and his mother. Now it was time to judge his mettle against hers. She wagered he'd not last long when he didn't have a blazing fire for distraction, and his sword was blatantly absent.
We are in mourning this day. You are intruding.
I'm not going anywhere until you tell me the truth about what's going on around here.
Weren't you listening to Mama last night? I've nothing more to say.
There was no mention of attack wolves when we were talking with your mother. She mentioned you had a dog, which I haven't seen. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen any animals around the Romani encampment.
You Americans think you are so brave, so tough. You don't know the meaning of strength. Now leave before someone gets hurt.
I don't take threats lightly.
Neither do I.
A woman entered the yard from the left. A pregnant woman in a bright yellow skirt and blue top. She stumbled toward Santos, gripping her belly, yet she wasn't large enough to be in labor.
What is it, Melanie? Is it the baby? The funeral?
Santos! Marcus is gone! The mullah has taken him!
You see? Look what you have started!
Who's Marcus?
Her son! You've cursed us all, Anya Creed!
The woman Anya had spoken with last night, Mama, dashed out of her home and, giving Anya only a cursory glance, went to Santos and the pregnant woman.
It's Marcus.
Oh, blessed mercy.
Santos braced the pregnant woman and led her and Mama in the direction she had come from. Not far off, more houses edged the forest. One was draped with a white ribbon across the door.
The dead boy's home.
Compelled to follow, Anya vacillated. With a funeral going on, she wouldn't be greeted with open arms by anyone in this tight-knit community. And now this.
Another missing child. Someone has to start tracking the child immediately, before the trail wears thin.
Santos, his mother, and the grieving pregnant woman entered the house ahead of Anya, who hung back near a parked pickup truck. It was early, before noon. Luke had mentioned the funeral was in the morning, but he hadn't said where it was going to be held. If it hadn't taken place yet, the family and friends would be fasting and preparing for the ceremony, which involved a possible funeral march to the cemetery. She had no idea where they planned to bury the child. There must be a cemetery in town, because she couldn't imagine them burying the child out here after the panic regarding the mulo. A dinner would follow the funeral, she knew. Had Santos cast a glance over his shoulder, spying Anya, before smoothly closing the screen door behind him? He had to have seen her. She wasn't hiding, just hanging back, measuring how wise it would be to barge in on the family. There was something in Anya that could not ignore an endangered child. Most people with a conscience wouldn't. If the best she could achieve was to convince someone to call the police, she felt she would be doing what she could. Marching up to the house, she slid her fingers down the rusted wire screening on the rickety wood door. The inner door was open.
I sent Marcus to the store in town to buy sugar and bread, and he hasn't returned. His father is on the streets of Krastava right now, searching for the boy.
Santos didn't respond.
He's involved in this mess beyond merely protecting his people. Brax would need a man on the inside. Yet why would Santos have a reason to scare his clanmates this way, and to endanger children? Enough with this speculation.
Anya walked inside through the empty kitchen into the living area. There, among the decades-old furniture and a matted shag carpet, half a dozen people stood, all focused on the weeping mother. They didn't immediately notice Anya. She met Santos' gaze and felt his disdain.
Do you have a picture of the boy? You should get a picture to the police quickly so the search can—
It's her! The one who dug up the cause of our grief!
The evil eye was flung at Anya from more than a few fists.
That skull is not the reason behind your missing son. Someone kidnapped him. Real people. Not mulos or vampires or any kind of vengeful dead thing.
Santos, get rid of her! You are no longer welcome here. Can you not see we are in mourning?
Santos moved toward her, and Anya put up her hands in placation. She stood her ground in the doorway.
Look, I'm sorry to intrude, but I think you all need to be rational about this. What about you, Santos? They need a leader to guide them, not let them sink deeper into this nonsense.
Get out.
Santos shoved Anya's shoulder roughly. Anya stepped through the kitchen, the ranks of gypsies closing up behind her and Santos to protect the weeping mother. When her back hit the screen door, she paused before pushing it open.
You saw me follow you here. You could have stopped me, protected your people from the woman who dug up the mulo. That makes me think you wanted them to see me. Why? Are you involved with Brax, Santos?
Who are you?
Santos swung the door open and shoved Anya outside. Following her, he gripped her arm to swing her around to face him.
You will leave now, or I will call the police.
You want to call the police on me, but not for a helpless child.
You do not understand our ways. We will handle this.
Don't give me that persecuted gypsy excuse again. I think you're helping Brax use those outdated beliefs to hide something from your friends and family. Do you know Weston Brax?
The man is...
Santos swung a fist at Anya. Santos stumbled backward against a rusted pickup truck.
I don't want this fight. You know what happened to the boy, don't you?
Santos plowed Anya into the ground. A fist smashed her shoulder. She managed to knee his solar plexus and scratch his neck. She rolled away. Santos plunged onto her with his entire body weight, bruising a rib. Elbowing him in the jaw loosened his grip on her wrist. She tossed a handful of dirt over her shoulder, and he stumbled off her. The screen door flapped open. Those inside crowded in the doorway. Anya backed in the direction from which she had come.
Santos, there are things we have to discuss. Things that can wait until after the funeral.
Anya turned and marched off along the forest edge toward the first home, which belonged to Santos and Mama. Santos grabbed her by the arm and shoved her into a faster pace.
I want to see you leave, Krestova, and never turn back.
I'm only returning to the hotel. I'm not about to leave town until you tell me what I want to know.
Then I will have to change your mind about staying.
Is that so?
They landed in the yard of Santos' home, and he shoved her toward the forest path she'd taken last night. Anya jerked her arm away from his grasp. Santos walked to his truck. He reached inside and came out with his katana sword. He approached her with the sword raised.
I give you an hour to return to your hotel, pack your things, and get to the train station. After that, I'm coming.
Anya nodded, turned, and walked into the forest. She had no doubt he would come after her, especially since everyone watching had heard his threat. Now, to determine if the fight was worth the trouble, every bone in her body screamed for her to return and beat the truth out of Santos. Anya broke into a jog, passing by the site on the path where the wolf still lay.
If the animal was owned and trained by Santos, why is he just leaving it here?
Anya quickly passed it.
An hour doesn't give me much time, and I have to be prepared for the worst.
Reaching the burned-out dig site and her rental car, Anya inspected the ashes, but found no sign of bone shards. It had been worth a look. Not even the skeletons in the wall of dirt had survived. Before driving away, she called Luke.
Pack your things and be ready to vacate in half an hour.
What's wrong, Anya?
Santos may be involved, and he's developed an urgent need to make sure I leave the city, dead or alive. And I suspect this hatred for me will extend to you and Doug.
Gotcha.
I'm putting Doug on a plane back to the States.
And you and me?
Haven't figured that one out yet. But be waiting outside the hotel for me, will you?
Absolutely.
Anya hung up, then took a moment to lament the ruined dig site and the destroyed bones. For some reason, superstition was driving a dark force in this area, and perhaps even feeding its power.
A business opportunist would have a field day with a situation like this. What is it Brax wants from the Roma people?
Luke loaded his supplies into the back of Anya's rental jeep. Doug had been granted the honor of holding the carefully packed and wrapped skull, and he had already seated himself in the back.
I got a translation for the words I found on the paper in the brick. It's a blessing.
Anya wedged her backpack among the men's things. Then she walked around to the driver's side.
Hop in. We've got to move. It's been over an hour.
So we're running with our tail between our legs?
Last time I checked, I didn't have a tail. I don't know about your physical anomalies, Doug, but maybe you should keep them to yourself. Sometimes it's better to retreat. There's already been a fire, and the funeral is taking place as we speak. I won't be going far, just to Lee Barrett's.
Anya pulled out of the hotel parking lot, navigating the quiet streets out of town. The rearview mirror showed a clear road behind them.
A blessing, eh? You sure about that?
Chester Rumshaven is the foremost expert of Romany dialects, so yes, I'm sure. And it was probably placed in the brick by whoever buried the guy. I'm calling him a him until we learn more. He, the skull, not the person who buried it, had big mandibles, so it's a guess. Anyway, the one who buried the body must have thought a few kind words might keep him down, as opposed to a curse.
Apparently it worked, until a natural disaster unearthed the bones.
Yes, either that or, as Doug posited, the blessing was meant to lure the deceased into the daylight, where presumably it would be burned because of the undead's fear of the sun. However that works.
Too bad we can't convince the Romas of the efficacy of the blessing. They might start looking for other reasons why their children are being kidnapped. Another boy was taken early this morning.
No, really? That's definitely not the work of a mythical creature. What's the story?
A woman who lives in the house behind Santos's home reported her son Marcus was gone. She's pregnant, too. Very sad. I suspect Santos is in on this. He's acting suspicious.
Is that the same suspicion that left a cut on your neck?
Yes. And reason enough to want to leave town to give me a chance to think this through.
Anya hadn't noticed she'd been injured. She glanced in the rearview mirror and touched her neck where she'd sustained a nasty scrape during her scuffle with Santos, and spied the billowing cloud of dust fast approaching behind them on the road.
Hang on, boys. Company has arrived.
Anya pressed her foot down on the accelerator. Their pursuers probably couldn't win a race out here on this rutted gravel road in an old Jeep. The vehicle behind them looked like one of the wrecks from Santos's yard. Somehow, though, the Jeep was gaining on them fast. When the first bullet hit their rear taillight, Anya took evasive action, swerving back and forth.
Get down, Doug!
I'm down!
Luke!
You think it's Santos?
I know it is!
Anya couldn't handle this situation from behind the wheel.
You're gonna have to drive, Luke. I have a gun in the glove compartment. Slide over here.
They made the switch, Luke sliding across to the driver's seat while Anya held herself up by the steering wheel and used the windshield frame to keep a grasp on the moving vehicle. Another bullet tore out the right side mirror. She couldn't determine if they were a bad aim or if the shots were intended to warn them. She dove to the passenger seat and went for the pistol.
Keep his speed, but swerve. Don't make us an easy target. Looks like only two in the Jeep behind.
Facing backward and gripping the roll bar with her left hand, her right arm straight out, Anya aimed for the rusted front grille. The truck behind them swerved sharply, brewing up dust clouds, but they were still in pursuit.
Incoming! A truck ahead!
Just don't crash into them!
The Jeep's windshield cracked down the center. The oncoming vehicle was a tractor pulling a wagon loaded with stacked tractor tires. As Luke swerved off the road, the tires struggled to grip the loose gravel, and the back of the Jeep pulled to the side. Anya could feel the vehicle's left side tires want to lose contact with the ground. Another bullet hit the dashboard above the radio.
Shit!
Luke gunned the engine, and the back tires spun in the soft earth that edged the gravel road. Then two tires did leave the road, and the Jeep slammed down again and stopped.
Stay in the car. Both of you.
Anya leaped out of the Jeep and waited until Santos' vehicle had cleared the slow-moving tractor. She stood in the center of the road, gun aimed for the tires of the oncoming vehicle. The first shot missed. The second hit the rusted chrome bumper. The car didn't slow. Anya straightened her stance. She saw the windshield shatter. Springing up, her foot touched the hood of the moving vehicle. In midair, she somersaulted. Then she landed on the ground in the car's wake, wobbling into a crouch. Anya swung upright and turned to stalk toward the vehicle, which had ground to a stop in a plume of dirt and dust 50 yards beyond. Santos curled around and hopped out from the passenger side, sword thrust before him. He wore a scarf tied around his head. Determination tightened his jaw, and his dark eyes focused on her. Anya dipped low, sweeping her sword arm across her body. As her body spun, she punched Santos in the kidney. He stumbled. Anya twisted and elbowed Santos in the jaw as she swung back around to face him. Anya leaped high over Santos' low strike. She landed on one knee, then lunged. Grabbing his shirt, she lifted him and shoved him away.
Are you seriously gonna do this?
I said I'd give you an hour. Time's up, Bone Hunter!
They fought for purchase on the uneven gravel.
You work for Brax, don't you?
Shit! I've done work for him off and on over the years.
A freelancer, huh?
You've made it difficult to achieve what should have been a simple task. I notified Kanov the moment I heard about the skull. Thought he'd be interested, and he brought me to Brax.
Brax uses innocent people's fear and superstition to cover his dirty work?
Yes, but we didn't need someone like you to preach to the Roma how foolish their beliefs were, to make them doubt.
I don't see that I accomplished anything close to that. They're burying a child today. And all the Roma believe Tomas will come back from the dead to avenge himself.
Leave them alone. Let them have their beliefs.
Wait. Are you afraid of the child's revenge, Santos?
He slashed at her, losing all skill in that moment of anger.
Is Brax the one who ordered you to sick your wolf on us?
The man shoved the scarf off his head, wiping away the sweat in one rough sweep, and tucked it in a pants pocket. He stepped to the side, double-stepping not to lose balance. Anya sensed he was tiring under the hot sun.
You killed my wolf.
What is Brax's game? Does he take the children and sell their blood, their organs? And why a child? If the man is dealing in human flesh and blood, why not an adult?
I have no idea. I only find the kids for him.
You're lying.
I don't know what he does with them.
You saw the boy who returned with a wound that had been stitched up. They take more than blood. They're harvesting organs, Santos. How can you allow it to happen to your own people?
You've become a deadly nuisance, Anya Creed. I think my driver took a bullet. He could be dead.
You're next.
Anya slashed her blade along the inside of Santos' leg.
I need some real answers, or I'll have to leave you here to bleed out.
Santos fell to his knees, his sword arm falling slack. Slowly, he collapsed onto his side, gripping his thigh. He wasn't going to give her any more information. Santos was quickly growing weaker. If he lived, he could talk to the police. Anya raced to the jeep where Doug, still in the back seat and strangely shirtless, leaned over the front seat tending to Luke. Frantic, he looked to her, then to Luke, and shook his head. Anya arrived at the driver's side. Blood covered Doug's hands, and he fumbled with the t-shirt he'd removed to press against the side of Luke's neck.
What happened?
He took a bullet to the neck right before we swerved to a stop. He's bleeding a lot. I don't think he's dead. Shit, Anya, this is not happening!
He's not gonna die. Help me get him onto the passenger seat. I remember seeing a hospital in Liberec not far from the train station.
Is that guy back on the road dead?
Not yet.
Under the hot afternoon sun, Santos was growing dizzy and his mouth was dry. He blinked. The bright sun flashed in his eyes and made it difficult to see anything. Anya Creed was crazy. The operation should have gone smoothly. The gypsy, seeing the American woman, had lifted a horrible curse from the ground, causing them to blame that curse when their children started to disappear. Mama didn't believe that, though. She'd spoken to Anya Creed, and it was as though the two had known, had seen beyond the lies to the truth. Mama had cursed at him for whatever he was involved in, and told him he had to make amends to the families for their missing children. She hadn't known he was completely responsible for Tomas's disappearance, but she felt he'd been a part of it somehow. But shame no longer affected Santos. The only emotion he still felt was anger. After losing Mika 2 years ago, he had nothing left to care about. His child hadn't been stolen by a fictional creature or an evil man. Mika had died 2 days after Santos' wife had given birth to him. Laura had died the moment Mika had taken his first breath. Santos had lost so much, there was nothing left to give. Somewhere close, something vibrated against his hip. He had his phone. He could call for help. And luck upon luck, someone was making it easier by calling him. He flipped open the phone.
Help me.
Santos, what is your status?
Dying.
Hell, what went wrong?
The woman, she is smart.
Anya Creed? You said she was an archaeologist.
She fights like a man and carries a big sword.
Is that so? Interesting.
And she knows things. Has it figured out? I'm 10 miles out of Krastava South.
Santos tasted metal on his tongue. The wicked sun blurred bright orange spots in his vision. Sweat dripped into his ears and down his neck. He laid his head on the rough gravel and reached for the sword his father had given him. His father had stolen it from a man who had once threatened to kill him with it. One should never threaten a gypsy without following through, because they protected their own. Santos had not protected his own. Didn't matter. Mika was all that had mattered to him. Whether or not death took him today, he would return to haunt the American woman. Brax had Wayne Pierce on the phone. The man was currently driving through France, sightseeing, when he should be back in London.
Close up the operation in the Czech Republic. Damn it. And send someone out to clean up the debris.
Brax settled into the easy chair behind a massive mahogany desk. He'd jumped at the opportunity to use the discovery of the skull as cover for his operations. In Egypt, he'd used a mummy's curse to obtain gold relics and scarab jewelry from a relatively insignificant tomb. He still carried one of the gold beetles with him, because the weight of it in his pocket reminded him of his clever ruse. In Italy, he'd manipulated the rumor of a serial killer and had gotten out with half a dozen children without raising suspicion. Only three children from Hrastava. Yet the demand didn't cease. It was a profitable venture, but the supply could never meet the demand, and coming up with covers was making it not worth the effort. Almost. He wasn't one to abandon business ventures until they'd been proven profitless. Up to $50,000 per child, sometimes more, was nothing to sneeze at. But he had a problem. Anya Creed.
Who the hell is she?
That Brax had connected Creed to Garin Braden added a new and interesting twist to the game. He did love to toy with Braden. The Diamond Caper a few years ago in Abu Dhabi had been a marvelous snatch, and Braden had followed up with an elegant yet subtle twist of the blade into Brax's Japanese uranium securities. Garin Braden was a fine opponent, a match to Brax's ingenuity and criminal daring. The small clinic in Liberec was open when Anya had driven up. Together, she and Doug had helped Luke inside. Leaving him in the exam room, Anya stepped outside the front doors of the hospital. She dialed the Hrastava police.
Two children have gone missing from the Roma camp outside the city. Yes. Also, an adult male is bleeding out from a gunshot wound on the other side of the forest from the camp. He's lying by the gravel road. No, I'd rather not give my name. Listen. The Romani are frightened. They need help.
Anya hung up. She'd have to get rid of this mobile phone. But first...
What do you want, Anya?
There's only one thing that could possibly give me reason to call you. What did you learn tracking the cooler? Anything?
Nothing.
Is that an I'm still tracking Brax and haven't been able to get close to him nothing? Or a she doesn't need to know all of my business nothing?
Figure it out for yourself.
What was in the cooler?
What makes you think I looked?
Was it blood or a body part?
Anya.
You're involved in this. That's why you don't want me hanging over your shoulder. And when I learn the connection between you and Brax, I'm bringing you down too.
You're threatening me, Anya? You really think you have the means to carry it out?
You know I do.
Not today you don't.
Damn him.
Anya shoved the phone in a pocket.
Garin and Brax? I don't even want to start doing that math.
Anya stormed back inside the hospital.